PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golf legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Luke Williams. Now, I know he doesn't need an introduction, but he is a senior director over there at Odyssey and the Callaway team. Luke, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You know, I can never decide if it's going to be a crazy day or an interesting day or a bit of both with you. I think that's part of the fun of having you on. But, you know, this is a really exciting time of year for you guys because there's a lot going on. And that includes a couple of releases lately that we get to see. And I know you guys are like all in the future and moving forward on that. But what's the buzz like over there at HQ?
Yeah, it is an exciting time. Whenever we're getting ready to launch products, it's fun. You know, we spend a lot of time on designing and developing these products. And so when we finally get to, you know, release them to the world, that's kind of the big payoff for all the work we've put in. So we now have kind of shifted our launch cadence with Odyssey so that we split our launches a little bit, but we'll have fall. We started last year with AI1 having a fall introduction, which was good for Odyssey because it gave us a little bit of a time in the sun on our own, away from all of the other Callaway launches that will come in Q1. And we felt that worked really well. So we're replicating that this year. We've got some models that we introduced at the beginning of the month, November 1, and then we'll talk a little bit more about something that we've got coming here in a couple weeks. But yeah, it's always a fun time when we get to launch the product and get the reaction from golfers out there to what we've got.
Now, I've seen you at launch events. I know you have a good relationship with a lot of folks out there. They usually seem pretty happy to see you. One of the things I'm really curious about is from that tour side connection. You have a wonderful set of tour staff. You have a massive level of activity on the tours. So I'm sure you're getting loads of feedback from them. What is that like year over year or even month over month? What's the feedback come back? Is it like, hey, I want to try this model, or hey, I really like this, but I'd love this neck? Like what's that like?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. Tour is massively important to Odyssey. We're the number one putter on tour. We have been including the PGA Tour for over 15 years now. And that's something we take a lot of pride in because most of the players around the global tours that use Odyssey putters aren't paid to do so. So about 70% of the putters that we get in play are with players that we don't compensate to use our putters. So they're choosing to use Odyssey putters because of the look, the feel, the performance. Ultimately, we provide great service with our tour reps, you know, on the various tours around the world, but it's really validation for the way that our products perform. So that's very important to us. And we try and stay very tightly connected to the tour team. So in the last year or so, we've even strengthened that condition connection with Jacob Davidson, who leads the tour team and is also now leading product strategy for Callaway. So we have calls every other week with our tour reps from around the world. On those calls, we also have Eric Steuben, who runs Putter R&D. Jacob is on there. I'm on there. We have an industrial designer that's sort of dedicated to those calls as well. And we're getting feedback from the reps on what's hot, you know, in our line or from competitors, what trends they're seeing, if there are holes in our lineup where it could be as simple as, oh, we could use this kind of neck on this head shape, or we could use this with a different sight line. Sometimes it's more than that. It's, hey, there's a shape that we don't really have an answer to. So we spend a lot of time in that dialogue. They'll often send in, you know, pencil sketches of ideas that they have. None of our tour reps went to art school, so none of them are industrial designers. So the pencil sketches aren't always all that impressive, but they're the kernel of an idea that then our industrial designer will take and turn into you know, a full-blown design. So that's been a really important process over the last couple of years. We know how important it is for retail and for sales to have putters that have visibility on tour, the ones that golfers see on the weekend on TV tend to be the ones that they'll go into stores looking for. And that, you know, drives a lot of interest, I think, more in the putter category than any other category, just because golfers can use the same putters that tour players use. There's no, you know, there aren't super game improvement putters and, you know, pro putters. Tour players use all kinds of different putters. And, you know, that it's really hard for an average player to use Xander Schauffele's irons or Sam Burns driver, but they can putt just fine with Sam Burns putter. So it translates really well, and that's an important link. So we work really closely with that team to try and get inspiration and come up with new designs.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had, because you have so much activity on tour. Is it when the wins out there happen, obviously that putter is at the forefront of the conversation on Sunday. And you know, you get all those wonderful close-ups, the Chrome Tour and the, you know, the Odyssey putter. That's huge. But like, what happens Monday? Is that suddenly become, well, you know, this putter won this weekend, so we're really going to lean into it this week?
Yeah. There's the old adage, what wins on Sunday sells on Monday. And it's true. I mean, we get, if putters in particular, but it's true across drivers, it's true as well. But if we get a win on a Sunday, particularly if it's a major or a big event, our call volume goes way up on Monday. Orders for, you know, those particular models will go up. And the same thing happens at retail, right? People will come into the store looking for a Jailbird that they saw someone win with the day before. So it, you know, and again, because, you know, average consumers can use exactly the same putter that a tour player uses, it translates really well. And if they see someone putting well or having success, particularly if that's kind of the story of their win, or, you know, they're putting better than they have since they switched to something new, it just perks, you know, it perks golfers' interest. So we see a definite strong correlation there.
Yeah, I've seen the reaction to that. Jailbird specifically last year, there was a re-release. Was that last year? I feel like time's blending together.
It was last year, yeah.
Okay. It was pretty obviously like, oh, hey, there's a real nice opportunity and people need to stop calling us. So you know, let's get this released. How quickly are you guys able to move on something like that, especially when it's something that has existed in the past?
Yeah. So that one was a bit of a scramble because we hadn't sold that model in, it had been over 10 years since that particular model had been in line, and we scrapped tools at our suppliers after 10 years. So if we haven't made any of a particular model after 10 years, those tools get scrapped. So it wasn't just as easy as, hey, let's go make more of these. The initial demand came from tour. So, we were looking to get more for more tour players, and we just didn't have that many left in our kind of global tour inventory. So we decided we were going to go, we had to tool it up. We were going to make some more for tour, and then the demand just kept increasing. So we decided, well, let's do a limited drop for consumers as well. And then, you know, through that whole process, the demand just kept increasing and increasing. We did that first drop and it sold out. We crashed our website because we had so much demand. And then so then we did another drop. But that one took longer than it typically would, just because we had to go recreate the CAD, because the CAD was in an older system that we don't use anymore. We had to recreate the CAD. We had to create new tools, get them made, all of that. If it's a model where we have the CAD and we can just turn it on and go make some, depending on the time of year and what, you know, our supplier capacity is, you know, we can get parts in 90 days ish. So it depends a little bit. on what we're reacting to.
So are you changing the timeline to 15 years now instead of 10 or what?
it's crazy. You never know, right? I mean, right. Jailbird was a popular model, and then it felt like it had kind of run its course. And now it's come back, and it's, you know, it's been the hottest shape going for the last, you know, year and a half. And putter shapes have, you know, staying power. So yeah, this, you know, it's, you'll continue to see jailbirds in our line for the foreseeable future, given the success we've had recently.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and again, I'm sure this is a little bit anecdotal for you because you're hearing the feedback rather than just dealing with it, you know, in the face all the time, but, being a part of an online community like THP, you constantly get that feedback of tinkerers, right? Like guys who chase what everyone else is sort of tinkering or sees out there. I'd love to know. I mean, it's good for the bottom line, obviously, but I'd love to know what that's like on tour. Are they as crazy as we are out there, especially when it comes to something like a putter? Like, are they jumping at the tour van to say, hey, I saw that. I need that in this, and this.
Yeah, I mean, I say this all the time, but tour players are just like average golfers, right? They're all golf nerds. And many of them are equipment nerds. And they will, just like with the regular group that you play with, if someone gets a new driver and all of a sudden they can hit it as far as you can when you're typically 15 yards longer than they are or something like that, or all of a sudden they're hitting it by you, your immediate thought or reaction is, well, it's got to be a new driver. I know it's not. I know it's not Joe or Tom or Bill, because I'm more talented than they are. It must be this new driver. So that creates interest. The same thing happens on tour. If a tour player goes out and plays with someone and they have a new driver and they're hitting it all of a sudden further than they have before, they say, I gotta check that out. Or with a putter, if someone starts putting really well or sees a marked improvement in their putting, other players get curious and they'll come to our reps and say, build me one of those. I want one just like Dan's. That's what happened last year with Jailbird when it got hot. Ricky Fowler pulled one from his caddy, played with his caddy who had an old Jailbird tank putter, and Ricky tried it after the round, put it in play. Wyndham Clark played with Ricky, came to our tour reps afterwards and said, I want one of those putters Ricky has just like his. And then it just sort of snowballs from there. So, I mean, tour players are hyper aware of what others are doing. And they have unlimited access to whatever equipment they want at zero cost. So imagine if your community, as much as they are equipment junkies and buying all the latest and greatest, imagine if they didn't have to pay for any of it, how much new equipment they would get, right? You'd order every new shaft that came out,
right?
Every new driver head, you know. So so that's what happens on tour. Now, there are players, what generally is the case is if players that are playing really well, or in the case of putters, putting really well, aren't looking around very much. But there are always some players that are either going through a little bit of a slump and they need something different to look at, or just constantly struggle with their putting where that's the weak part of their game. Those tend to be the players that switch the most, are always looking for something new. You get someone like Brant Snedeker, who's been using the same Odyssey putter since he was in middle school, and he's made a living being a great putter. Those guys don't switch as much, but there are plenty of players out there that are always looking for, you know, that something that's just going to help them a little bit. And now that they have so much access to their stats and they know exactly, you know, their strokes gained putting from different distances and from week to week and where they rank, and they know the impact of, if I can improve my strokes gained putting by 0.2 of a stroke, that would move me up, you know, 40 places on the list, and that would be worth this much money and all that sort of thing. They're searching, I think, more than ever to make sure that what they have is what's best for them.
Yeah. Well, you resonated because you mentioned the people willing to buy as much as they could if they could.
Yeah.
But we just recently had a thread on THP that started with how often is too often to go to the golf store?
Yeah.
So, you know, window shopping is obviously a thing, but it actually, we do have new product to talk about and I swear we'll get to it, but yeah. I love having you on. So I love talking about these sort of new subtle nuances of putting. One of the things I've always been curious about, and I know there's a little bit less limitations on the tour truck, but you constantly fight the decision-making on SKUs, the number of products that are available, and not just that, the number of products that exist in retail for people to pick up and try.
Yeah.
Where the challenge, of course, lies is that not everyone putts the same.
Right.
And that 5 to 10 strokes with a putter in the golf store is really going to define your perspective on the product.
Yep.
So, you know, how much goes into making those decisions, like what should go in the store and what neck or head or shape or sight dot or alignment tool? Like there's got to be a ton that goes into that.
Yeah. So we spend a lot of time sort of agonizing over that. And, it's difficult as you start putting a line plan together, to pare it down, because obviously we would like it to be as tight as possible. But there are so many different styles of putters and different styles of putting even. And as the leader in the category, we want to have something for everyone more or less, right? So we feel like anyone, whether they prefer milled putters or inserted putters or cruisers or standard lengths or broomsticks, that we have something for everyone. Obviously, not everyone's going to choose an Odyssey putter, but we don't want them to not choose an Odyssey putter because we don't make a milled putter or because we don't have a cruiser or because we don't have blades. So once you start looking at all the different types of putters and styles and shapes, and then we try to bring freshness to the market. So we try and bring out new shapes. Again, a lot of those led by feedback we get directly from tour, it ends up being a lot. And then you multiply that by the lengths that you offer and grip options. And if you do different necks and sight lines, it explodes pretty quickly. So our biggest challenge is trying to keep it as tight as possible without, you know, giving up on significant segments of the market that we think are, you know, are meaningful.
So what's that like when you get the feedback? Because I know people aren't quiet about what they'd like to have, and especially with a review element instantly on the homepage. It's like, hey, I would absolutely buy this putter if it had this neck, if it had a sight dot, if it didn't have a line on it.
Right.
How frustrating is that, knowing like, hey, we've created a great product, it's just really hard to fit those finite golfers?
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to have everything that everyone wants, right? So we have to look at, we also use a filter of what we've known has sold. So things like, an example would be our number 9 shape. People love the number 9 and they're passionate about that shape. And whenever we don't have it, people complain. But when we have it, there just aren't that many people that buy it. The ones that do love it and it's the only shape they want to look at, but we offer it and it'll sell well right away. And then all the people that like that shape have bought it, and then it doesn't sell anymore. So
this is the real subtle half moon shape with mega toe hang. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Correct. The shape Mickelson used for most of his time with us. So, you know, we have to, you know, dose all of that with some reality, and we know what sells and what doesn't. So there'll always be someone that would, anything we could come up with, there would be one person that would buy it. But we need more than one. So that's the challenge. We're never going to satisfy everyone. We're always going to have someone asking for more. And we listen to all of that. And if we hear a lot of chatter about a particular shape or style that we don't have, that goes into the consideration set, and that becomes, you know, something that we'll consider in the next line. Or if we see, you know, a competitor having a lot of success with a particular style or shape that we don't have, then that would be something else we might react to. If something is trending on tour, you know, crank hosels on mallets a couple years ago started getting really popular on tour. So we started to integrate those into our product line. So, you know, we can't have, we offer more SKUs and more options than any other brand by a pretty significant margin. But we'll never have everything. And if anything, we get more pushback, from our internal team and from some of our, you know, customers about having too many models, not about, we never get pushback for not having enough.
Sure. Well, I mean, let's talk fads. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. Putting seems to be one of the easier ones because you can change the weight at the top of the putter, whether it's counterbalancing, incorporating some of these really, really light shafts to support counterbalancing.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the day when you had the grips that were the size of pool noodles you'd put on there and, you know, apparently would save the wrist breaking. I thought it was horrible, but you know, the fads that really take off and really die quickly. There seems to be a new one out there about this sort of zero torque logic. And it sounds to me like you guys have reacted a little bit to it.
Yeah, that's we're going to have a product line coming at the end of the month. So November 29th will be the product at retail date that we're calling Square to Square. And it is in that class of what's referred to now commonly as zero torque putters. These are all putters that balance with the toe up. So it's not a new concept. It's something we've done in the past. We had our backstrike putter back in 2010, for those that remember that one, that had the funky shaft that bent and went into the back of the head, was a similar concept. It did that in order to project the shaft plane kind of underneath the center of gravity such that it would balance with the toe up rather than face balance or balance with some toe hang. And we had, I would say, moderate success. That was sort of a cult classic. Tommy Gainey won with it on tour. We had, you know, I would say it was a decent offering with some interest. And then that kind of faded away. We had subsequent lines of toe-up putters that did similarly, kind of had some interest, kind of a small loyal following. They did better for us in Japan for some reason. So we had several lines of toe-up putters in Japan. But then that seemed to be a trend that just sort of kind of faded away. We've noticed over the last couple of years, Lab most notably has come out with putters of a similar style or that balance in a similar way. And so we've been keeping an eye on that. They started to have some success on tour. And then ultimately, if you have success on tour, that'll generally translate to retail. So they've started to see an uptick at retail as well. So we've been keeping a close eye on that. When we introduced our broomstick putter earlier this year, our number 7 broomstick, it was a similar style. So a center shafted putter where the shaft enters behind the top line and more in line with the center of gravity to get it to balance like that. And that did very well for us, albeit, you know, in the broomstick segment, which is a pretty small segment. So we've been kind of had an eye on broadening that offering. And now that it's more than kind of a micro trend, we feel like there's some momentum there and others are starting to enter the space as well. You know, again, as I talked about earlier, as the leader in the category, if there are people that are interested in these styles of putters again, then we want to have an offering. And we think the offering that we're going to bring is pretty compelling for players looking for that type of putter.
Yeah, so it's interesting you talk about having this concept in the wild previously and then it just really not taking off. Do you think that a lot of that attributes itself to the lack of success on tour? Like you'd mentioned, it did win, but it wasn't like a massive conversation at the time. And in fact, I think it was a little bit ahead of its time because mallets were still really trying to, you know, get a real solid foothold on tour. So I guess a two-part question to that. the second part being, does it feel like a bit of a loss to have not really stuck with it, just to see like, oh, if we just kept it in line for a little bit longer, maybe people would have really figured it out?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, I feel like we gave it a chance and it kind of had, you know, it had a little bit of success, but then kind of quickly faded away. So it felt like a trend that didn't have much staying power. And you see this happen in not just putters, but in all kind of golf categories, where sometimes something will pop up. You get the early adopters, the people that are excited to try anything new and different. And then once they try it, they either stick with it or they go back to what they've been using before, and then it kind of goes away. You know, to your point, if, you know, let's see, back in the day, well, if Phil Mickelson had won the Masters using one, it would have been a different story, right? Then it would have taken off. We didn't have that kind of moment, and it didn't get the kind of penetration to really make it go. And the other thing is, for us in our line, it wasn't our only, you know, style of putter, right? I think one of the reasons Lab has been able to do as well as they have with this style of putter is it's all they offer. So they're telling everyone, this is the best way to putt. This is the best style. Everyone should be using this. You know, we believe, and through our testing, we think it is a really good way to putt for many golfers. We don't think it's the silver bullet that will be better for everyone. But there's a big enough segment of golfers that can benefit from this style of putter. And there's enough sort of awareness now around it that we think it's the right time to re-enter the category. And we think, like, you know, like I said, we've got some really compelling shapes that we know are tour proven and have been successful in the marketplace. I think the embodiment this time is a little probably more palatable. The backstrike was a pretty unusual sort of looking putter, as well as the toe up. So that was a pretty significant barrier to entry. You had to get over that sort of unusual look. These are different from a typical center shafted putter, but closer to things people might have putted with before. So I think they'll be a little bit easier for people to accept.
I got a chance to see them. It really is just a center shafted putter from a visual perspective, just shifted back more into the flange, right?
Right. Yeah. So the putter, it's a, you would consider it a center shafted putter. The shaft enters behind the top line rather than into the top line in order to get the shaft in line with the center of gravity. So the center of gravity is just underneath where the shaft enters the head. And that's what allows it to balance with the toe up. If you take a center shafted putter where the shaft is in the top line, as a more conventional center shafted putter would be, then the center of gravity is behind that, the shaft, and that'll make it want to flop open. So traditional center shafted putters tend to be face balanced. Because we've moved the shaft further back and in line with the center of gravity, that's what allows it to balance toe up, which gives it a different sort of dynamic in the stroke.
And again, for those who might not be familiar with toe up versus toe down, if mm-hmm. you simply hang your putter over the side of a table, you'll yep. notice that a traditional putter, let's say an answer style blade, yep. would be hanging down the toe pointed toward the ground. And in this case, it's actually pointing toward the ceiling.
Correct.
Which is pretty wild. I mean, it's part of the fun of recognizing that there's really more to this than what looks pretty, mm-hmm. you know, that
yeah.
There's a lot to go on. There's a lot that does go on with it, but I'm also really curious about something I read, that there's an intentional forward press built into the putter. Mm. So I've never been a big fan of the forward press, only because it adds a variable just before the stroke. But mm-hmm. in this case, you're setting up for a forward press, right?
Yeah, so the shaft has a 3.3 degree lean. It's primarily because of where the shaft enters the head. If the shaft were vertical, as it is in a traditional putter, then your hands would be behind the leading edge. You'd be behind the face. So if you think of like the way Zach Johnson sets up to his putter, where his hands are behind the putter, that would be kind of the natural position to set up in. Zach Johnson's obviously a wonderful putter, but that's a pretty unconventional setup. Most people want their hands either parallel to or in line with the face or slightly ahead. So this forward shaft lean gets your hands into that position. If we didn't have that and you set up with your hands behind the ball, most people's inclination would be to forward press in order to get their hands into a more conventional position relative to the face. And if you did that, then you would be taking loft off the putter. So the putter, if it would have 3 degrees and you forward press 3 degrees, you've now got 0 degrees of loft. Also, when people forward press, they tend to open the face, not intentionally, but that's sort of a natural reaction as you forward press. So by presetting that, we're able to get people in a position where their hands are in a comfortable position, a proper position relative to the face, without having to forward press it, and with the loft that the putter is designed to have.
Yeah, I read that and reacted really quickly to it, thinking, oh man, forward press, because I've always had such a negative perspective on people who set up, then move their hands forward, not really thinking that this is actually saving people from doing that. So it's quite a positive addition to the putter head. I'd love to hear more about the types of heads you're offering in this lineup and whether that will expand over time if there's success.
Yeah, so we've got 3 head shapes. We picked our most popular shapes, both on tour and in the marketplace. So we'll have our Jailbird, our number 7, and a double wide. The double wide is a little longer heel to toe than our traditional double wide, but we felt we needed to do that just to get the proportions right for this style of putter. So those are shapes that we know are our most popular. If someone is looking to try this style of putter, we wanted to give them shapes that they were comfortable with and familiar with so that they weren't having to adjust to a new shape along with a new style and just lots of different things to consider that are new. So we're starting with that. We'll look to expand, you know, as we go forward, either with other shapes or other styles. All of the putters coming at the end of this month will be our standard lengths. So, you know, going forward and assuming this trend in this sort of subcategory of putters continues, I would expect, or you can expect, that we'll bring more.
Yeah. I really liked how the double wide set it up. It in a traditional blade, I feel like it would get really crowded down there when you slide the shaft back, but by doing the double wide, which it has mega benefits. I mean, hell, you even talked about not using a mallet to use this double wide for a while. Yeah. In your lineup. So clearly there are added benefits to it when someone like you says that. But the idea that it didn't crowd the back of the putter head, I thought really suited that profile.
Yeah, I think of the three, the double wide is kind of the simplest. You know, the feedback we'll hear is it's kind of just the simplest, you know, for people that aren't looking for a lot of alignment aids or kind of clutter behind the putter. It's just a very simple presentation. It has, because we've lengthened it in the heel toe, it has extremely high MOI. So the MOI on that double wide is over 6,000. So it's a really forgiving putter, particularly for a blade style. So yeah, we think it's a great option. Minji Lee has been using one. She played one a couple weeks ago out on the LPGA tour and is really happy with it. So we expect her to continue with that. So yeah, we think between the three, we think all of them will get tour play and attention. So, you know, it's a nice tight lineup and offering, which back to our earlier conversation is not always something that we have. So, we think we're starting in a good place anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. tell me about, milled putters. Because I feel like Odyssey is pretty comfortably the king of insert putters.
Yeah.
It doesn't take an expert to figure that one out. But I've always felt like you over there have experimented and leaned and tried, but never really had the same sort of punch with a milled finish putter.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to criticize. I want to be clear. We're comparing absurdly successful inserted putters. What's the feedback rate there now internally? Are you guys happy where you are with the milled? Are you trying to expand? What's the goal?
No, we're not happy with where we are in the milled category. I think our share in that category isn't where we would want it to be. And, you know, we know, well, our milled putters now have an insert. So it's a milled titanium insert in the AI1 milled line, but it has that sound and feel of a milled putter. The bodies are all milled as well. So it's got that look. We have just introduced with this November launch some new models. So we've got a two ball, which we haven't had in a milled putter in years. And we have a jailbird now, which we've never had. So we think that's some low hanging fruit. You know, shapes are obviously a major driver of interest in any putter. And so having two of those super popular shapes, we think will help. And we have a couple other models that, again, came out of this tour team. One is the Ross EV, which is sort of a mid-size rounded mallet. And then the One Wide, which is a sort of larger formatted blade, more along the lines of like our Double Wide or others like that, which within the blade segment is definitely a growing trend. So I think we've got some better shapes now. But we'll continue to look to bring new things to the milled category. You'll see some more stuff coming from us in January in both the milled and the non-milled line as we kind of split this launch and continue to bring some freshness to the category. So we're definitely not satisfied with where we are in the milled category. And we think based on the performance of our putters, we should be doing better. So it's a continued point of focus for us, and you'll see us continue to bring innovation in that category as well.
Wow. Well, it seems like a good time to pay attention to what you guys are doing. If things are going to continue to improve or exceed expectations, that's pretty great. I do have a personal question for you on putting. Is there a current trend or a fad in putters that irritates you or you wish would just go away?
That irritates me.
You can't say all blades must die. That's not.
No. Fair. Well, I mean, that's a trend that I love. I think, you know, we see even on tour over 70% of the putters that we get in play approaching 75 now are mallets. And we over index a little bit just because at Odyssey, we've kind of been known for mallets over the years, but just looking at all tours, and all manufacturers, the percentage is over 65% now. So we're certainly a part of that. But I think even tour players are realizing the benefits of mallets. So that's a trend I like and I think is good for average golfers or even better golfers. And I think all of these little micro trends that kind of pop up, some of them stick, some of them don't. But it just kind of shows that people are always, whether on our end, on the kind of OEM end with new designs and new innovations, or whether it's instruction and what instructors are seeing and teaching out there, people are always trying to find better, easier methods to putt. And there's not one size fits all. There's not one solution that works for everybody. Something that might be best for someone might be the worst thing possible for someone else. So that's why there's so much variety. And I think as these, you know, trends pop up and they get hot, the best ones and the ones that really help golfers the most are the ones that stick around. And those that don't, that people, you know, try and then realize that didn't really help me. I'm not any better than I was last year. Those tend to fade away. So the ones, the ones that work have staying power, and they'll stick around and grow. So it's just a fun, it's a fun area because there's so much opportunity to try new and different things. People are more willing, I think, to try things with putters or different styles than they may be with irons or their driver. It makes it a fun space to play around in.
One of the things that has shifted a little bit over the years is the balance point of a putter. We've seen different shafts get incorporated, different weights of grips. Are you satisfied with where Odyssey sits right now on that? Is that a really solid realm for you?
Yeah, I mean, we believe strongly in having some kind of counterbalance and distributing the weight of the putter to kind of the perimeter, being the head and the butt end. We've seen in all of our testing, it shows up very consistently that players deliver the club head more consistently with some of that counterbalancing. That's enabled by having a lighter weight shaft, unless you just make the whole system heavier, which can work for some. In cases like our cruiser line, for some people, having just more mass overall can be really beneficial to kind of quieting their stroke. Players that, maybe have a little bit of a tremor or the Y word can benefit just with more mass. But all golfers sort of across the board, at least in our testing, seem to benefit from having some amount of counterbalance and that kind of distribution of weight. So that's, an area that we obviously have participated in, and we think is the way to go. So we'll continue to design our putters that way.
Last time I had real tremors in my putting stroke, I just leaned into the blueberry infused lemonades. I didn't really think about changing
the weight. That's another solution. Yeah, that's another solution as well.
Oh man, it's always super fun to have you on. Great new products coming from Odyssey. I'm repping you guys a little bit today. It's hard to see.
Love that.
Yeah,
love
there it. You go. A little good bit to of see. A little bit of good stuff there. Is there any feedback you want to give to THPers paying attention? Anything like one particular model you're super excited about right now?
I mean, we've spent the majority of our time talking about this square to square. If you haven't tried that type of putter, I think it's something everyone should at least give a try, right? Whether you find a shop that has them or get out to a golf course where you can demo one. It's really interesting. I think everyone will recognize it's different. It looks different, obviously, but it feels different in your stroke. And for players that are trying to reduce the amount of face rotation in their stroke, it can be really effective, particularly for players that maybe have a right miss or tend to leave the face open. It can work really well. So, for all you equipment junkies, and if you're listening to this, you're probably by definition an equipment junkie. It's something to try and see if it's for you. I think you'll see that it's something different. And for some, it makes a pretty significant difference in their performance.
Awesome. If you guys out there are listening and you are curious about some of the new products from Odyssey, definitely go to the THP homepage. You can see some great information there. I think James and Ryan did an awesome job sharing the info this time around. But go to your local shop, try them out, and then go heckle Luke and tell him which one's the best for you. And obviously, which models you expect to be out next week, too.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Keep there the feedback coming for sure.
Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Make it count. I just looked at next weekend's weather, and it looks horrible, so this might be like the last stand here in Ohio. We'll see. Either way, I'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.